We've just completed a two-hour meeting upstairs, and I believe there is a press release that has been prepared by the department that lists the names and affiliations of the many guests that were with myself and Arif Alakhan, who is the deputy mayor for the city of Los Angeles, working for and representing Mayor Villaraigosa. Speaking as chief of police for Los Angeles Police Department, I believe it was a productive meeting, that there was a lot of candor, there was a lot of openness, a lot of frankness, which is what we want. And I have a statement which I'll read, but I'd like to first and foremost get to the point of the controversy of the past week, which was the issue of concern about a proposal that had been made to engage in a mapping project, so-called. And the intent of that was discussed, and it was quite clear from the community representatives who were here today representing the many communities that make up the Muslim community of Greater Los Angeles that this was an idea that they thought was ill-conceived and something that they certainly did not believe they could partner or support. And in recognition of that, that because it would have required engagement between the community and the police department, I have indicated as chief of police that that proposal will not be going forward. It is an expression we have, DOA, dead on arrival, that it will not be moving forward. I've also indicated that we will be preparing a letter that I would hope that the individuals who attended today, that we'll be sending it to them, will share with their constituencies of the various mosques and social service centers and organizations that they represent. With that, let me just briefly, if you'd bear with me, just read several paragraphs, and Arif Alakhan is going to make a statement, and then representatives of the group on the table are going to step up and speak to their reactions to the events of this past week. The LAPD strongly embraces the philosophy of community policing in all of our daily operations and functions. Community policing is a partnership between the police and the community, whereby the police and the community share responsibility for identifying, reducing, eliminating, and preventing problems that impact community safety and order. By working together, we can reduce the fear and incidence of crime and improve the quality of life in neighborhoods citywide. I have said it many times in many places, and I want to be perfectly clear. We cannot do this alone. We need the working cooperation of all members of our community. That is community policing, partnership to identify problems, to focus on those problems, to prevent disorder, to prevent crime. In a democratic society, the police derive their powers from the people. The people are the police. In order for us to do our job effectively, we must actively seek out and maintain the trust and support of the diverse communities we serve. We are a democracy, we have a constitution, and we, the police, must adhere to that constitution and those democratic principles. 18 months ago, as part of our community policing initiatives, specifically our community engagement initiatives, the LAPD began to reach out to the many Muslim communities and their leaders throughout Los Angeles. The principal purpose of this engagement initiative is our desire to learn more about the Muslim communities, their religion, needs, fears, and concerns. I'll be quite frank with you that I, for one, knew very little about the Muslim faith and about the Muslim communities here in Los Angeles or in Greater Los Angeles or here in the United States, the American Muslim community. It is also intended to give them, the Muslim community, a better understanding of their police department and how we might better relate and respond to their particular needs and concerns. In effect, to sustain our ongoing partnership based on mutual trust and respect. We continuously seek wise counsel and guidance. The Muslim community's united, swift, and assertive negative reaction to the mapping element of our engagement strategy initiative. In addition, I hope, to our quick response to no longer pursue it, is, I hope, a clear indication that the relationships which have already been formed are paying off. But we seek to expand those relationships and broaden them. Our having frank, transparent, and open discussion about a major issue of concern to the Muslim community has resulted in what I hope will be a meaningful and satisfactory resolution. I actually don't hope. I'm confident that it will, that we will be able to move forward and meet the concerns that were expressed in the very open dialogue that we've had the last several hours. As we move forward, we must continue to build upon the relationships we have fostered At the same time, we must forge new relationships with all of the diverse communities throughout this great city, with the goal being to make Los Angeles the safest big city in the nation. In sum, we seek to partner, we seek to listen, we seek to learn, and we seek to respond. I hope today that our response is satisfactory to the Muslim community, but I'll have to let that community speak for itself. I would not deign to speak on their behalf. But before asking them to come to this microphone to talk, I'd like to introduce Sarah Falakhan, who is Deputy Mayor for the City of Los Angeles, responsible for public safety initiatives, and he will be here speaking on behalf of Mayor Antonio Villagosa. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Chief. As the Chief just indicated, my name is Arif Ali Khan. I am Deputy Mayor for Homeland Security and Public Safety, and I'm appearing on behalf of the Office of Mayor Antonio Villaraigosa. On behalf of Mayor Villaraigosa, I would like to thank the various groups that came today to speak with the Chief and the command staff regarding this important issue. They represented a very diverse Muslim community that exists here in Los Angeles, and it's very important that their voice has been heard. And in fact, it has been heard loud and clear. This issue has been of controversy, but I also want to thank the Chief of Police and the LA Police Department, who has also heard what these voices have been saying and has decided to not go forward with the mapping plan that has been indicated. It is very important that we move together and we move forward in a constructive dialogue that engages the Muslim community, and I'm confident and I know that Chief Bratton is dedicated, committed, and will do that. And with that, I'd like to introduce to you Shakil Sayed, who is the Executive Director of the Islamic Shura Council. Brother Sayed.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. May God's peace, mercy, and blessings be upon all of you. We thank God today and thank the people of Los Angeles and our interfaith partners, civil rights and social justice organizations, and the civic and political leadership of the city who responded to the concerns of the community in an appropriate manner today, and indeed all of you, the press people, for taking interest in this important issue that transcends Muslims. I like to recognize and honor those who stood by Muslims and stood in solidarity on this issue. I'll take the names and the organization that they are affiliated with to only make one point, and that is, this is not an issue just for Muslims alone. Rabbi Chaim Beliak from JewsOnFirst.org, if you could identify yourself so the press people could talk to you if they feel necessary. Rabbi Jason Van Leeuwen from Congregation of Westchester. Daniel Sokach from Progressive Jewish Alliance. Reverend Louis Chase, Interfaith Communities United for Justice and Peace. Father Alexis Smith from the Catholic Archdiocese. Chaplain Javier Storing from the Office of Restorative Justice of Archdiocese. Reverend Dr. Gwyn Gibbard from Los Angeles Episcopalian Diocese. Reverend Peter Larman from Progressive Christian Uniting. Reverend Jerry Stinson from First Congregational Church. Bishop Steve Gilliland from Latter-day Saints. Reverend Alexia Salvatierra from Clergy and Laity United for Economic Justice. Kathy Masoka from NICI for Civil Rights and Redress. Craig Ishii, Japanese American Citizen League. Karen Pally from Women in Black. Hamid Khan from South Asian Network. Shan Critton from American Friends Service Committee. Reverend Ed Bacon from All Saints Church, or I see Luis here somewhere from All Saints Church. Los Angeles Jews for Peace, indeed, and the Cousins Club of the Orange County, and Arab American Discrimination Committee and National Council of Arab Americans. These are the organizations and the individuals who stood with the Muslims in solidarity, and we thank each one of you personally and on behalf of the entire Muslim leadership. Thank you so very much. As Chief indicated, the plan is over, dead, cannot and will not be resurrected. And we thank God for that, and we thank the leadership for that. We hope to receive a written statement from Chief's office early next week, reflecting the demise of the mapping plan and acknowledging the hurt and offense caused by the mapping project. And we also look forward for the proposals for moving forward that we will further study in our boards and then come back to the table for further discussions. The following of my colleagues will speak in this order. I'll introduce all of them at one time, and they will take turns one after the other, and then we will open up the floor for questions and answers. Salam al-Marayati, from Executive Director from Muslim Public Affairs Council, followed by Hussam Ailush, Executive Director of Council of American Islamic Relations. Ranjana Natarajan, if you are here, please come up. Ranjana Natarajan from ACLU, Reverend Louis Chase from ICUJP, Rabbi Chaim Beliak from Jews on First, and following that will be a closing remark by Dr. Maher Hatoud, and then we will take your questions and answers. I also must thank those who signed letters of support to Shura Council and with the Muslim community, namely ACLU, Council of American Islamic Relations, Muslim Advocates, for sending our sentiments in writing to the police department. I thank all of you personally, and I'm grateful that we all are here to celebrate this occasion. Salam al-Marayati from MPAC.
Thank you, Shaquille. I also want to thank Deputy Mayor Arif Ali Khan, Chief Bratton, Commander Mike Downing, the whole LAPD force today that invited us to this very healthy and candid dialogue. I think this is a first step towards healthy dialogue between the Muslim American community and LAPD, and definitely a great step for democracy, because we saw today democracy in action, where the chief of police told us nothing moves forward without the input, without the participation, and without the support of a very important community, and that is the Muslim American community. I think that makes Los Angeles a much stronger city, and I'm proud to be an Angeleno today. I think we're all proud to be citizens of this great city. It is an example for other cities in talking about how we resolve problems. This is definitely a first step, and we have many yards to go after this, but it is a critical step to develop a forum of understanding and to develop a forum of positive, healthy, transparent engagement. So with that, again, I would like to tell the citizens of Los Angeles that as a result, we are a stronger city for the purpose of public safety and civil rights. Thank you.
Hussam. Would you identify yourself again?
Sure. My name is Hussam Ailush, H-U-S-S-A-M, as in Mary Ailush, A-Y-L-O-U-S-H. I'm the Executive Director of the Greater Los Angeles Area Office of the Council on American Islamic Relations, CARE. The Los Angeles Muslim community today is relieved to know and hear that the mapping project is killed, is dead. It will not come back. It will not be resurrected under any name, shape, or form. It's a great relief to know that we'll be treated like all citizens and all residents of Los Angeles. For that, we're grateful and thankful to Chief Bratton and to the LAPD for making that decision and being receptive and sensitive to the concerns of the Los Angeles community. We're also very grateful to know that and remind everyone that we will be reinstating, continuing all measures to continue building trust, partnership, cooperation between the Muslim community and the LAPD in hopes to do what every citizen would like to do, and that is protect our nation, protect our city, and ensure that we're all partners for all the good things of our city. American Muslims are law-abiding citizens. They're peaceful. They're the doctors, the engineers. They're the police officers. They're the soldiers, like everyone else, doing what they can, paying their share in defending, promoting a peaceful and harmonious city. We are very thankful for all the help we received from our dear friends in Los Angeles of all religious and ethnic backgrounds. If anything, this shows it's a great city. It's great to be an Angeleno today. It's a proud moment for everyone in the city of Los Angeles to know that the city will treat all its members, all its residents, equally, like first-class citizens. There are no second-class citizens in Los Angeles today. Thank you very much.
Good afternoon. My name is Ranjana Natarajan. I'm an attorney with the ACLU of Southern California. On behalf of the ACLU, I'd like to say just a few quick things. One, we hope that what the LAPD is recognizing in scrapping this mapping project is that racial, ethnic, and religious profiling is never a legitimate basis for law enforcement, and that profiling has to be eliminated from all types of law enforcement, and that's a continuing campaign that the community and the police must engage in. And second, we started this with a very simple premise, which is that Muslim Americans are no more suspicious and no more prone to extremism or violence or terrorism than any other community, and it is very important that the LAPD and other police departments recognize that. We at the ACLU will continue to monitor the LAPD's efforts on this front to make sure that in the future, community policing does not mean community profiling. Thank you.
I'm Rabbi Chaim Dov Galyak. I'm with a website called www.jewsonfirst.org. It's a website dedicated to the First Amendment. I represent not only a website, but I represent a community and a historical consciousness that when we heard of the possibility of mapping, all kinds of alarm bells went off in our head. Certainly we are at a moment of a new start of reconciliation, perhaps of a new way of responding to the great and wonderful diversity that we represent in all forms in Los Angeles. As a Jewish American who arrived from a displaced persons camp that was in Germany after World War II, as a person whose parents went through what we call the Holocaust, I can only ask that this renewed sense of redemption and reconciliation be a part of our consciousness, not only in a moment like this where we have been called back from what we all now acknowledge is a very bad idea. People of various religious backgrounds in this country are not tracked, followed, or mapped. And we're very happy to see that this event has been stopped. But we recall other times in this country and other times in this city, when there was not the wisdom that we've seen displayed today. And so we hope that the historical consciousness that is displayed in the very wise decisions and the meetings of minds and hearts today between my Muslim brothers and sisters and our police force will be carried forward in a very positive and assertive way, that we in a democracy are together citizens, all one and all one and equal. Thank you.
My name is Louis Chase, and I'm the chair of Interfaith Communities United for Justice and Peace. This organization was founded in the wake of 9/11 with our mantra, religious communities must stop blessing war and violence. It is from this interfaith perspective that I come to you this evening to express our solidarity with the Muslim community, and also at the same time to commend the chief of police and also the community for the conversations which were held this afternoon, which will lead to resolution and for the building of a better community. I would also like to say that one of the important factors about reconciliation is that it has to do with trust. And my mentor, the Reverend James Lawson, once said to me that we should only trust God and hold all others accountable. So I believe that this is an opportune time for us to hold each other accountable in terms of building a new Los Angeles.
My name is Maher Hathout. I am the senior advisor of Impact Muslim Public Affairs Council and the vice chairman of the Shura Council. I don't want to be redundant, but I would highlight that it is a day that should be celebrated. We are celebrating basically the American values. We are celebrating our pluralism and our democracy. No group should ever be singled out, neither to be studied as a specimen, nor to be singled out as suspects. People either to be partners or suspects. And we, the Muslim Americans, completely resent being suspects, and we are in this country together, all of us, Muslim, Christian, Jews, atheists, police, government, we are together to keep America safe and free and offering a good model to the world. Tonight, Los Angeles illustrated this model in its best. The plan is killed to the point of no return, and any ramifications of this plan should be erased. The chief kindly promised that we will get a memo to that effect, and he will also offer proposals for further engagement and cooperation, and we are very eager to work on that and to take it to our prospective constituencies, and to together all of us can make our city the best city and our country a leading model to the rest of humanity. Thank you very much.
On behalf of the Islamic Shura Council of Southern California, which is a federation of mosques and Muslim organizations whose members are all here and whose interfaith partners and friends and associates were all here as well, I am deeply, deeply indebted for everyone's support. We thank the leadership of the Deputy Mayor, Arif Ali Khan, and also the LAPD leadership, Chief Bratton, Assistant Chief Jim Downing, Jim McDowell, and the Deputy Chief Mike Downing, and we look forward to working. You are more than welcome to ask questions either to any particular person or to the group, and we will answer accordingly. Teresa?
We've heard that the origin of this plan was a visit by Deputy Chief Downing to England, where he visited with Scotland Yard investigators who were using some kind of similar mapping plan with Muslim communities in Yorkshire, England. Is that accurate? Is that in fact what the origin of this plan was?
Mike, Chief.
I did travel to West Yorkshire and observed a plan where there was community mapping done. The actual origin for this was a result of continuing dialogue and finding ways to deepen the engagement with the Muslim communities to create a better understanding. But I must emphasize that it couldn't go forward without the support of the Muslim communities, and obviously that support wasn't there, so hence it was pulled.
So, Chief, how do you achieve what most terrorism experts say needs to be done, which is to know your Muslim communities and to be able to identify folks who may be subject to radicalization, to the influences of Al-Qaeda?
Well, I think like any community policing effort that we do, I mean, that's my background is community policing. Relationship building and community building is something that I've done for most of my 25-year career. And so in essence, it's that. It's learning how to develop greater understandings, deeper engagement, more focused engagement. And we've asked the Muslim communities and leadership that is behind me right now to partner with us, and there's been acceptance that that is important to do, and the continuing dialogue is critically important. But we can't do anything, no matter that there's prisons, walls, technology, nothing will prevent terrorism except the communities themselves. And these leaders behind me know that, and I think they've committed to deepening the understanding to carry on, and that's the way forward.
What's your level of concern about
speak to that? Part of the learning process we've engaged in over the last 5 years that I've been here as chief of police and in the 6 years since 9/11
has been to have a increased awareness of a community, being quite frank with you, I think many in the larger public are not aware of. And certainly I think American police forces had very little engagement with this community because it is a significantly law-abiding community. Issues of crime in this community, much less than in many of the larger populations of many larger cities. And one of the learning processes that I think Michael and I, who have spent a lot of time traveling the world and trying to learn about the issues that are creating terrorism and causing terrorism as we seek to protect this city, has been to have a much better understanding, certainly, of the Islamic extremists who are seeking to wage war by hijacking a strong and vibrant and important religion. And one of the things that we have learned and that we will imbue is that the American Muslim community is in many respects, and I'll, certainly I don't profess to speak for this community, but what I have learned and what my belief is that they are Americans. They are proud of that, that they have assimilated. And there was a comment made upstairs, and it was by one of the imams, and I'd like to maybe just the note that I jotted down because I was very taken with it. In terms of he comes from a country that where police were feared and were involved in terrorism, and he said, "I came to find peace, freedom, and respect." And another of the attendees upstairs talked about, "We are Americans by decision, not by chance of birth." So much of the Muslim community in this country are recent arrivals, and they are here fleeing terrorism, and they come here because of what we offer, which is freedom from fear. And under no circumstances do I want the Los Angeles Police Department to contribute to fear unnecessarily. Our focus has to be on criminality. Our focus has to be with the communities to help us understand the communities that we serve. And the American Muslim community is assimilated, has assimilated, seeks to assimilate. They do not seek to be separate and apart from, that they are Americans, proud of it, and many of them by choice. And some of the issues in other countries of the world that we're very familiar with, England, where we've spent quite some time, where many communities, not just the Muslim community, but many of the communities that have migrated to that country are isolated, are segregated, are apart from. That has not been the case here in the United States, and that has been something we have certainly learned, and it was reinforced today in the many comments of the many people that are standing behind me.
To simply streamline this, we would like to also have a our perspective on your question, the radicalization aspect, Dr. Thiel.
The issue of radicalization, like so many other issues, are talked about a lot without defining it. Nobody volunteered to tell us what radicalization is. Who is the radical Muslim? The one with the beard, or the one who is hiding so he shaved, the woman with the scarf, the one who prays five times a day, the one who is coming from Saudi? Who is the radical Muslim before we give ourselves the liberty to classify people and identify them according to a ghost concept? When we decide what radicalization is, then we can decide how to prevent it from happening. The only people who can give guidelines on that are the Muslim community. And this is why the Muslims are the essential part of the solution. But we cannot keep talking about vague terminology, and we cannot allow everybody to define who we are except us. We are the ones who should say who is the radical, who is the dangerous, and who that might cause havoc. If I know you, or even the chief going to do something to hurt America, he will be reported at the drop of a pen. But this is criminal act. I don't care what the ideologies are. I don't care what the origins are. What I care about is potentiality of criminal act that can hurt America.
The gentleman in the back.
Chief Brenton, you mentioned that in order for this plan to work, it needed the support of the Muslim community. So was this plan flawed because it didn't get their support, or because it didn't have what you mentioned earlier? Which one of the two things was it that made this a flawed plan?
No, the whole effort of community policing is about police not doing it for or to any community, but rather doing it with. And in a democracy, the people agree to be policed. In this instance, this community made it quite clear after 18 months of dialogue and a lot of progress, a lot of meetings, that this issue was one that they could not support, would not support, and would not engage. So that's why it's over. We're moving on. It was something that was presented, reacted to, and rejected. And it is not something that we can pursue on our own because it requires the community and the police together. It's not something that can be done independent of the community or needs to be done independent of the community.
Ma'am, you had a question? No. Hamid, go back.
Thank you. I'm with a grassroots community-based organization called South Asian Network, and we've almost have about 10,000 community members that participate in our activities every year. I think while this is good that the police has retracted its position, but this is not a time to celebrate for us, because the fact of the matter is that the community is under siege, and the damage that has been done continues to be irreparable. I mean, while there's a lot of talk about doctors and engineers, but the large segment of our population are taxi drivers, retail store workers, single moms, people working in sweatshops, gays, lesbians, transgender community members. So I think, they are, when you talk about potential terrorists, the message has been sent that these are the people who are potential terrorists, this is what they look like, and by the way, this is where they live. And having seen the history of communal violence and how communal violence, just gets instigated, these are very dangerous times for the Muslim community and the South Asian community. After 9/11, there have been more Sikhs who have been murdered in the U.S. as a result of hate crimes than Muslims have been. So I think more than celebration, I think this is an issue of concern that under what pretext did the leadership even allow such a twisted idea to move forward? That what were they thinking? Because the underlying message, again, is that this is a potentially terrorist community, so we should be watching out for them, which gives rise to hate crimes, hate incidents, and all forms of violence against our community. So I just want to put that out on the table. My question is that this issue of engagement, we have been suffering with this issue of engagement since 9/11, whether it's special registration, whether it's FBI calls. So what the FBI is doing now is that they knock on the door and they call them friendly interviews, which really is another way of there in the guise of making an engagement. So is there anything in the plans? We know that this has been rejected, but is there anything else which, in a twisted way will come back around and haunt our communities, but it will turn into another friendly interview or another form of engagement with our communities?
If I may add, Chief, I think we had this discussion and I echo the sentiment I think you have reflected very eloquently upstairs, which is to convey to the Los Angeles and beyond a fair impression about Muslims that will negate the impressions and the image that was formed because of the mapping plan.
Well, first off, let me explain about the mapping plan that, as I understood it, as Chief Downey was intending to use it, and I'll bring back a personal experience as police commissioner of the city of New York in 1994. I had not even been appointed as commissioner. I was arriving in New York City in the middle of a blizzard, and as I was getting off the plane, I was informed that there was an ongoing near riot in the Harlem area of New York City, in which several New York City officers responding to a fictitious phony call about a disturbance had entered a storefront mosque, a black Muslim mosque. And not being aware it was a mosque, entered in response to that trouble call, and a struggle and engagement ensued with the security personnel for that mosque. And it ended up in a tremendously difficult situation that evening that ultimately was resolved. But I came to understand quite clearly by that one, as well as one 30 years before in that same city, in which a police officer was killed entering another mosque, not being aware it was a mosque, that there is a need to engage, to be aware of, that not every church, not every mosque is going to look like the cathedral up the street, that not everybody prays in a magnificent edifice like that, and that what we seek to do in policing is to attempt to the best of our ability, know our community, our police officers to know their assigned area, our captains to know the communities in their area. So the mapping that, and the term we use, was nothing about profiling, was nothing about racial or religious significance, but rather more intended, in terms of my understanding, my intent, to do that, what I do in any community, to understand who's the leadership, what are the places of worship, what are the schools, so that in times of trouble and in good times, we are aware, and that's what community policing is about. So I've indicated that it's unfortunate that the effort from really its inception was not understood, in large part, I think, because you are a community that is under siege and under attack and are so susceptible to those that would hate and not like. And we want to work with this community to try to ease those fears. So we really regret that anything we would do would have added to it or have added to the impression of others about this community, because that is certainly not the intent as we get to this point, and certainly will not be the intent going forward. We have learned, and as I've indicated, that this is a community that is law-abiding. Does it have people in its midst who are criminals? Certainly does. Every community does. That's unfortunate in our society, in our life. In our effort, our commitment is to focus, as required by our democracy, by our constitution, by our law, by our charter, on criminal behavior, on disorderly behavior. But as several of the speakers have indicated, not to focus on a community, but to focus on individual behavior. And that is our commitment, that to effectively, if there is criminal activity, we will deal with that. But other than that, it is about relationship building. It is about responding. It is about working with and enhancing relationships. That is what community policing in a democracy is all about.
With that, we'd like to thank every one of you personally and on behalf of the Islamic Shura Council. We'll make ourselves available individually to answer any questions that you may have. Thank you again so very much, and God bless.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Chief. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
I do take also the comment about that.
Thank you, John.